Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2. And he said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you." And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I send you to the peoples of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' and whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf. I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. He went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on 2 tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord. I recently read an article, first published in a British newspaper a few years ago, entitled, "How Prostitutes Made Me Believe in God." It was written by an infamous freelance photographer from New York City named Chris Arnade, a guy who takes pictures, mostly of drug addicts and prostitutes, in the Hunts Point area of the South Bronx, the most desperate, hellish corner of New York City. Chris Arnade is an unusually talented guy. He not only has a flair for capturing images and arranging words, he also has a PhD in physics from Johns Hopkins University, though he never worked as a physicist. Upon finishing his doctorate, Arnade put his math skills to work on Wall Street, working for 20 years as a trader and making a lot of money. When things went south in the financial industry 10 years ago, Arnade was already spending an inordinate amount of time wandering the most dangerous corners of the city with his camera. So he decided to take a risk and see if he could make a go of it as a professional photojournalist. In this article I read, Arnade recalled, "The first heroin addict I met was Takesha. She was standing on a sidewalk near the Corpus Christi Monastery in the Bronx. We talked for an hour before I took her picture. When I was done, I asked her how she'd like to be described if this photograph was published. Without a pause, she said, 'Describe me as who I am. A prostitute, a mother of six, and a child of God.' Those are three categories we don't normally lump together. Prostitute, mother of six, child of God. Those are categories that don't go together, do they?" In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus had left the town of Capernaum, where he astounded everyone by bringing back from the edge of death the daughter of Jairus, a prominent synagogue leader. And he had now entered the town of Nazareth, his hometown, the town where Jesus grew up. And that Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue. The people who had gathered at the synagogue knew Jesus. Some had known him all his life. They remembered him as a child. Some of them had played with him. They'd all watched him grow up. They'd also heard about his miracles, including the recent raising of Jairus' daughter in the neighboring town of Capernaum. And that Sabbath day, they were astonished at his words as he commented on the scriptures in the synagogue. But the idea that Jesus was the Messiah, that was too much. Jesus, the hometown boy, just like them, and Jesus, the sinless Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Those are two categories that just didn't go together. How could Jesus be so far above them, so beyond them? It made them angry. They took offense at Jesus. In Luke 4, there's a description of the people of Nazareth actually driving Jesus out of town with the intent of pushing him off a cliff. You know, we shake our heads at their attitude toward Jesus. How could they reject Jesus just because he wasn't in the category they expected him to be? We shake our heads. But we exhibit the same kind of thinking when we think like this. I'm a child of God, but how can a prostitute be a child of God? I'm a child of God, but how can a meth addict be a child of God? I'm a child of God, but how can someone who struggles with same-sex attraction be a child of God? Those categories seem incompatible to us because we cling to the idea that their particular sin is more obviously destructive and therefore worse than our particular sin, as if they've crossed a line that we haven't crossed. Of course, I guess they could be children of God if they just repent. In our gospel lesson, we read that when Jesus sent his disciples out teaching two by two, their message to the people was, repent. So what does it mean to repent? In the American Christian culture, we've come to understand repent to mean a change of behavior. But that's incorrect. The meaning of the Greek word translated as repent, metanoia, actually means a change of mind or a change of purpose. That's not an opinion. That's simply what metanoia, the Greek word for repent, actually means. So what God is looking for in our repentance is a change in how we think, particularly how we think about God. Specifically, in repenting, we acknowledge our own sinfulness and put our faith in Christ. And we trust in Christ's righteousness. And just like the Apostle Paul, we quit pretending that we have any righteousness of our own. That's extremely difficult for you and me. It's much easier for Takesha, the heroin addict. She gets it. Her sinfulness is on display for everyone to see. She understands that any righteousness at all that she'll ever have is righteousness imputed, credited to her from Christ. That's one of the things that all of us here have in common with Takesha, the prostitute and addict. The only righteousness we'll ever have before God is the righteousness of Christ credited to us. You know, we hope that repentance, a change of thinking, is followed by a change of behavior. But that's not always the case. Our own Rich Beals, who years ago was a drug and alcohol counselor, told me that only 5% of heroin addicts ever become free of heroin or methadone. And according to Chris Arnade, that's why Sonia and Eric, two homeless heroin addicts wandering around Hunts Point, identify so strongly as belonging to Christ. They have a picture of the Last Supper that they display wherever they camp, underneath the freeway, wherever. It explains why Sarah, an addict since her teenage years 15 years ago, always wears a cross around her neck. Or Michael, a 30-year-old junkie, still prays the rosary, just as he was taught as a child. Chris Arnade insists that always, in any crack house, in the darkest building devoid of any furnishings, a worn Bible can always be found lying flat among the needles and the lighters and the crack pipes. The addicts and the prostitutes of Hunts Point deal with painful scars from horrific pasts, and they know that they are viewed by everyone on the outside as losers and human trash. But to our astonishment, perhaps, Chris Arnade says faith in Christ is rampant among them. They have faith in the one who never judges them, who simply loves them unconditionally, the one who came down from heaven and was attracted especially to people like them. The people of Nazareth rejected Jesus out of pride, but the people of Hunts Point in the Bronx, the addicts and prostitutes, the homeless and the destitute, they don't have that problem. They clamor for the love and the acceptance and the righteousness in God's eyes that Jesus offers them. And that's what Jesus offers you. forgiveness and love and acceptance, and his own righteousness given to you, credited to you, imputed to you. Regardless of your weaknesses, regardless of your past or present failures, regardless of the depth of your sin, God pours out his mercies upon you in this life and someday will welcome you into heaven because you are redeemed, forgiven, and loved. Of course you are. You belong to Christ. You're a child of God. Amen.